Good morning, everyone. Let's start with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, oh Lord, thank you so much for this time to look at your word, Lord, and look at some of the events that you were at and performed miracles. We get to know you a little bit better, Lord, and give you all the praise and thanks. And we hope that we pray that the Holy Spirit is with us and helps us in our lesson today. We give you the praise. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Well, the famous feeding of the 5,000. And ended with the Peter's finest hour. Luke moves into that particular questioning by Jesus to Peter. And the Luke account, it doesn't say very much, but I added in the amount that really meant a lot of the fact that Jesus, when he asked that question, that the disciples weren't given that answer because of what something Jesus said, but because of what God said, and through God that they learned it through the Holy Spirit, as we learn many things through reading the Bible and the Holy Spirit. So let's get into the lesson. We're still in Luke. Take on, we're in chapter 9. I'm going to look at verses 10 through 21 today. And starting off in Luke 10, and the apostles, when they returned, now remember yesterday they had left and they were evangelizing. They would have gone out two by two into the surrounding area to evangelize and to talk about the kingdom of God. And now they're returning. And with some not so great news, as I will point out, that the, during this time is when that old fox Herod had John the Baptist beheaded, and the disciples are the ones that are going to tell the Lord about it. So I think at first the Lord wanted some private time to get alone and just contemplate it and pray about it, but that wasn't going to happen because. End up, people saw Jesus and the disciples returning, and they wanted to hear more from Jesus. So Jesus didn't get to go and his in one account, one of my Bibles, the Scofield, it says that he uses the con that the vacation was interrupted. So the apostles, so starting in verse 10 here, and the apostles, when they were returned, told him all that they had done, and he took them and went aside privately into a desert place belonging to the city called Bethesda. So I brought up my handy dandy map here, so got my big pointer. So where they're at right now is Bethesda, and we're going to be talking today about the famous feeding of the 5,000, which happened right over and through here where I'm pointing. And it's a traditional location. You'll notice it's, in this map, it shows green. Typically, on a relief map like this, green indicates something that's very has a lot of vegetation. I might as well show you the other picture now while we're talking about it. But also in this same area, this is a picture from the Sea of Galilee of this area that I'm talking about. So you can see this nice wide open green area could be a very good spot that Jesus could have had this feeding of the 5,000. And I point this out for a couple of reasons. Just a speculation on my point. It doesn't point to it in so many words, but it kind of hints at it a little bit. We know that Jesus had the ability to change things that are locally attainable into something else. And we'll show that a little bit when we get to it. Because once we're talking about this, why don't I leave that picture up? I already showed you where it is on the map. And let's continue. So talking about this particular area, this particular story is also in, it's all in all four Gospels. So it's in Matthew 14, 15 through 21, Mark 6, 32 through 44, and John 6, 5 through 13. And we'll touch on a little bit of this, like we're going to start right off in Matthew. And point to a little more discipline. as to some additional information that was added by Matthew, talking about John the Baptist, and it's over in Matthew 14, 10 through 14. And this is a the Matthew account, and it just starts off. I just wanted to point out that during this same period of time is when you'll notice that when I mention this story is in Matthew 14, 15 through 21. Well, in Matthew 14, 10, where we are now, is where this incident happened that we're going to talk about, that the apostles are going to point to. So, and he sent and beheaded John in the prison, jumping down to verse 12. And his disciples came and took up the body and buried it and went and told Jesus. And Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Maybe this was a little bit of a distraction that the father kind of helped Jesus get over the idea of losing his cousin, and helped him by this little bit of a distraction. Possible. I wouldn't rule it out. Continuing on in Luke 9:11, and when the people went. And the people, when they knew it, followed him, and he received them and spake unto them of the kingdom of God, and healed them, that they, all they that needed his healing. And I like to think of he spoke of the kingdom of God. Part of that healing was the healing of the spirit also, and the salvation of the spirit. So it could be multiple reasons for the healing here, both body and spirit. But over in Psalms, a couple of nice verses that talk about this. Psalms 103, verse 19. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over it. Talking about the kingdom of God. Also in Daniel 4:3, how great are his signs, and how mighty are his wonders. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and his dominion is from generation to generation. Also in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. All the blessings of the Lord that can provide for you. And trust me, you cannot outgive God. Just put your faith and trust in Him, and you'll be surprised what He'll do for you. You might have to, occasionally He might have to give you a little correction, and that's a good thing. Look at that positively. It ain't going to be all bells and roses. You're not going to get rich or anything like that, but He's going to help provide for you and care for you. Then in Acts 28:31, talking about preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. This is talking about Paul when he was in Rome. He was actually, let me read the prior verse. And Paul dwelt 2 years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him. And then it goes on to what we just read. So that was Paul in Rome he was under house arrest his first trip to Rome. It wasn't until the second trip that it actually turned into a beheading, and he ended up dying. Okay, Luke 9:12. And when the day began to wear away, there came the 12 and said unto him, send the multitude away that they might go into the towns and country round about and lodge and get victuals. But we are here in a desert place. I know that's a little bit confusing, a desert place. But we also know that he got there by ship. So you can't, it's pretty hard to get to a desert place by ship. So it's, I think he mean what they mean more like just an area where there was no towns or villages. It was just wide open country. 9:13. But he said unto them, give ye them to eat. And they said, we have no more but 5 loaves and 2 fishes, except we should go and buy meat for all these people. Well, a couple of great examples of other times that Jesus always provides. I'll go over in 2 Kings 4:42. And there came a man from Belshazzar, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, give unto the people that they may eat. Verse 43. And his servitor said, why should I set this before a hundred men? He said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. Now, is there going to be a full? And that they're going to be satisfied even with what you think may be not enough. Also over in John 6, 5 through 10, add some additional information that's very interesting. It's something that, like I was talking about, it talks about green grass. In John 6, 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, when shall we buy bread that those may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. Jesus already knew he was going to make it so that everybody could eat without buying anything. He wanted to see what Philip's answer was going to be. And Philip answered him, 200 pennyworth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Verse 8. And one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which hath five barley loaves and two small fishes, but what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. So that's why I picked this picture. This is where they traditionally think it happened. Mainly because it's so much green in this wide open green grassy area. Back to Luke 9:14. For there were about 5,000 men, and he said to his disciples, make them sit down by 50s in a company. And I guess I could mention another time that Jesus took something like a natural element and turned it into something else. And of course, I'm thinking of the famous story of the water to wine. And it's in John 2, 6 through 8. And they were set there six water pots of stone after the manner of the purifying of the Jews, containing two or three firkins apiece. And Jesus said unto them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them up to the brim. And he, meaning Jesus, saith unto them, draw out now and bear into the governor of the feast. And they bear it. So we know the finish of that story basically is that that wine was actually better than the original wine that they had. And it was very good wine. So I'm kind of speculating a little bit that the fact that they are sitting on green grass, and the fact Jesus was there, that he basically turned that grass into bread. Now, and then you say, well, what about the two fishes? Well, we are next to the Sea of Galilee. And so I'm sure there's plenty of fish in there, too, to get. So I guess some speculations on my part. Doesn't really spell it out, but it kind of hints at it a little bit when he mentioned the green grass. And there's one other place that mentions it, too, I'm going to get to here in a minute. But Luke 9:15. And they did so and made them to all sit down. Then he took the five loaves and the two fishes, and looking up to heaven, he blessed them and brake and gave to the disciples to set before the multitude. Important verse here. This is where we get basically our tradition. It's not just a tradition, but it's a good example Jesus set here that we give the blessing for our food for every meal before we eat it. And I guess I'd point to a couple other times Jesus did the same thing. Luke 22:19. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. Thus do in remembrance of me. That's during the communion. Luke 24:30 and 31. The Emmaus Road at the end. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Another example of a a earthly rapture, all right, where it went from one place to another. Luke 9:17. And they did eat and were all filled, and there was taken up of fragments and remained to them 12 baskets. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples with him, and he asked, okay, this is moving into the next story. So we finished up the feeding of the 5,000. And there's a few other correlations that can be fun to look at, is the fact that Jesus has always said that he is the bread of life, and that and through him that if you feed on his bread, that you'll never be hungry. And we're talking about the word of God in that case. So all this is, there's a lot of symbology here too, this feeding of the 5,000, because the whole reason they were there is they were being fed spiritually by Jesus through his words, and now Jesus was going to feed them physically also. And just with basic understanding that no matter what, Jesus is God is going to take care of us. But as I pointed out yesterday, he provides the means. It doesn't necessarily do the plowing and the planting and the harvesting and the cooking and the preparing of the meal. I like the analogy that there's a comment in the Bible that Jesus takes care of, that God takes care of all the animals and provides for them. Well, in the case of like a bird, I'm sure a bird doesn't sit in its nest saying, "Okay, God, bring me my food," and the food is delivered to him. He actually physically go get it. He provided the food, yes, but they're in the form of bugs and worms in the ground, and so the bird has to go get them. He has to actually, even though it's provided for him, it doesn't mean that you're lazy, and that God loves a man who is a man or woman who is diligently working to provide for himself. So it doesn't mean that because that we expect there's just going to be a handout, that we have to try ourselves. I like to point that out because I think some people get that the wrong impression. Okay, Luke 11, 1. Oh, I didn't read this yet, did I? Okay, now we're moving into the Peter's famous hour. And it came to pass as he was alone praying, his disciples were with him, and he asked them, saying, "Whom say the people that I am?" Well, first I want to point out a couple of things about this one. The first thing we notice is that Jesus was praying, and he was alone at the time. And I think it's an important. Now, there's nothing wrong with corporate prayer. During the feeding, Jesus stood up there and blessed the bread prior to eating it. So the corporate prayer has its place. There's nothing wrong with that. Where two or more are gathered, the Lord is there. But that typically Jesus, by example, always prayed to the Father on a regular basis in private. And we see this here. He was alone praying. And he comes, he gets finished his praying, and he comes back, I guess, to the disciples who are nearby. And he asks them, "Whom say the people that I am?" So he's wondering how, if the disciples, I guess, are catching on to what this whole thing means. Over in Luke 11, 1 and 20, Luke 11, 1, we got what follows. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of the disciples said unto him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And this is where Jesus gives that example of a prayer. A lot of people call it the Lord's Prayer, but it's not the Lord's Prayer. It's an example of a prayer that how we should pray to the Father. A great example of the Lord's praying, I love the reading in John 17, where Jesus is pleading with the Father to take away the crucifixion. But of course, he can't. But that it shows a really But also, I'm sorry that in 17 it actually shows Jesus praying for us, which he does day and night, even now. Also in Luke 22:39, and this is the other one I was talking about. And he came out and went as he was wont to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at a place, he said unto them, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And he said, withdraw from them about a stone's cast and kneel down and pray. This is Jesus praying to the Father the night before he's crucified. Okay, this is where the finest hour comes in. Also, I just mentioned Matthew 26:36, talking about prayer. Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and say unto the disciples, sit here while I go pray yonder. So another example where Jesus went to pray by himself, but the disciples were nearby, but he was by himself. That was the one, that was the famous case where they kept falling asleep. That would probably be me. So continuing on, verse 19. And they answered, saying, John the Baptist. So remember the question, whom do people say I am? And so they're answering him. And some say John the Baptist. Some say Elias, Elijah. And others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. Verse 20. And he said unto them, but whom say that ye that I am? And Peter answering said, the Christ of God. And over in Matthew 16, it gives a little bit more detail about this and Jesus, how he responds. Starting in verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father who is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whosoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whosoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Blessed is he of the second death. So, the reason I bring this up too is that because a lot of people like to use this verse to try to say that Peter was the first pope. Well, number one, I truly believe that, let's just look back at this verse. This is the verse that a lot of them use. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. First, we got to identify Peter does mean stone, but it's like a pebble, it's a small stone. And then Jesus, as he's talking, I can envision him going, kind of pointing to himself and saying, and upon this rock I will build my church, meaning that upon the foundation that Jesus is building, and by sending out the apostles. The apostles become part of the foundation, but there's other passages that talk about Jesus as the chief cornerstone, which is the first stone that's laid, and it's what every other stone is measured off of. And talking about the keys, that I give them the keys to heaven and hell, that's based on the fact that if you were to go over to just lost my train of thought. A few verses ahead, we'll probably touch on it when we get to it. Actually, Jesus says that he gives the keys to the kingdom to all his followers. So that basically this verse applies to anyone who's a follower of Jesus, not just one person, Peter. So I just want to point that out. Okay, and Luke 9:21. Let's see, did I read anything? Oh, they finished off with verse 20 there. And then charged to his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. So we can see here in the Matthew account that that Peter really was his shining moment, and he answered it correctly, even though he was not told that information. But moving on to verse 21, and he strictly charged them and commanded them not to tell no man this thing. So that's all I was going to talk about today, that just feeding of the 5,000, and some good lessons there about God does provide for us. But I think that we and that Jesus is still in the miracle business, maybe not quite as often as it was in his time frame. But as I like to remember too, is it like all the healings and things of that nature. I think that Jesus and God over time has given us the education and the ability to fix some of these things ourselves without God having to step in. And a good example of that is doctors and nurses that help the sick. Back in this time frame, people would die of diseases that are quite curable now. And so it was a time frame that death and despair was a little bit on the rise compared to now. And then we have modern medicine. It doesn't take away from praying to God for all the things you need, including medical. He likes hearing from us, number one, but he also likes to be able to give his children gifts as needed. But not everything is understandable at this point either. If he doesn't necessarily answer your prayer exactly how you ask for it, he has a good reason. So we'll end on that note today. Say a prayer. Thank you, Father, so much for this time. We look in your word and all the help, you Lord, helping me to see deeper into this passage, and help me to continue to strive to get to know you and to know and love you, and that we can all be someday ready to serve you with as much knowledge as we can. In Jesus' precious name I pray, amen. Okay, you guys all have a great day, and we will talk again tomorrow.